You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, featuring Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith while building a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, brought to you by the Influence Alliance, the business building community for coaches and consultants who want to build a profitable and scalable business while also make a much bigger impact in the world with their message. And yes, I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross. Now, my guest today says kingdom entrepreneurs make the biggest impact as they accelerate revenue growth. And joining me on today's show is Daryl Amy. Daryl, he is on a mission to help generous companies grow revenue. With 27 years of B2B marketing and sales experience, ranging from mid-sized local companies to enterprise organizations, Daryl has diverse experience across the sales and marketing landscape. Now, he is a member of the Forbes Business Council, and he works with executives to create growth strategies. And he co-founded Convergo, where he serves as a chief innovation officer, helping companies develop revenue growth strategies. Now, he's also the co-founder of the Kingdom Missions Fund, and he's a host of the Revenue Growth Podcast and co-host of the Selling from Heart Podcast. So lots of wisdom and insights to draw from. Now, specifically on today's show, Daryl is going to share how to grow business faster so that you can make an impact, how to integrate career and calling to make an impact, and how to unlock exponential revenue growth in your company. So welcome to the show, Daryl.
It's fantastic to be here. Thanks for having me. This is going to be so much fun.
Oh, it certainly is. And you've got diverse experience that you draw upon. But one thing that I was really drawn to was, you know, your work as Chief Innovation Officer. Now, when it comes to, because you do a lot of work in the area of revenue growth, mm-hmm. I'm sure that kind of that innovation and the ability to challenge status quo and think of things outside the box, would you say you draw a lot on that to support businesses in growing revenue in certain areas that they may not even realized was available or even possible?
Absolutely. I think when you look at growing anything, whether it's a business, a nonprofit, whatever you're looking at, innovation is really key in all of that. And innovation is everywhere. It's not just in creating a new product, which is great, or a new service, which is wonderful, but innovation happens all over the place in terms of how we do business. And one of my favorite business thought leaders is Jay Abraham. And Jay always recommended, hey, just pick your head up and look to the left, look to the right, see what other companies, especially ones not in your industry, are doing. And you'll have ideas for innovating the way that you go to market, how you take care of your customers, how you sell, how you cross sell, all of those things. And I think, you know, one of the best things we can do as entrepreneurs is pick our heads up, which is hard sometimes because we're focused, right, on driving whatever goals we're aiming towards. But pick our heads up and look and go, what are some ideas that other people are doing that we could incorporate into this business? And innovation is the heart of growth, I believe.
Oh, absolutely. And something else that I'm sure you're also sharing on your podcast, but also with your clients, is that over the last couple of years, we've really seen businesses challenged with situations that mm-hmm. they may not have had to face in their entire business life. Mm-hmm. And I think innovation, thinking outside of the box, looking at certain ways of doing things and adapting it to suit our business has always been important, but now so even more. And mm-hmm. I love the way you mentioned about lift your head up and look around. Mm-hmm. Also too, on the flip side of the coin is be mindful of what we do look at, because that could quite become a distraction and keep us, you know, from not really seeing where we do need to maintain our focus or something that may be right in front of us. So keeping that in mind, let's talk about some of the things that we can start to do to grow business faster so we can make a much bigger impact.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that out, because that is near and dear to my heart. My passion is helping generous business leaders grow their revenue and grow their impact. And those two go hand in hand. Revenue growth is critical. And to me, when it comes to revenue growth, there's two key things I like to look at. First, the sources of revenue growth and how I can accelerate that. So there's only two ways to grow revenue. And when you boil it all down, and that is we get more new clients or we cross-sell more to our current clients. We land, we expand, we get wallet market share, we get wallet share. However you want to frame that, the challenge I've seen, Anne-Marie, is most companies are usually good at one or the other. They're good at going out and landing the new deal, ringing the bell and, you know, high-fiving and all of that. Or they're good at managing their current client base and growing inside that client base. The beautiful thing that I've discovered, and it's actually just simple math, is when we get both of those going at the same time. So we get modest growth in net new business, modest growth in revenue per client, cross-sell business. When both of those start going at the same time, we see revenue growth start to turn exponential. And that's where I really get excited, because here, when we're looking at this as Kingdom business people, I want to have the biggest impact I possibly can have. And one of the best ways I can have impact is by growing my company. Not only does it create more revenue, it also creates more jobs and meaningful jobs inside Kingdom-minded companies. Beautiful, beautiful thing. So what I challenge business owners to do, and anyone responsible for revenue in a business, and we unpack this in Revenue Growth Engine book, is to say, okay, you know, are we good at net new? Are we good at cross-sell? Keep doing the one you're good at. Mm-hmm. Look at the one that you're maybe not so good at and go, what are the processes that we could put in place that would help us get at least reasonably consistent at that? And when that happens, really what happens is you start to pick up a lot of low-hanging fruit, and the business begins to accelerate. And then once again, the impact of your organization begins to accelerate as well as you have more resources.
Yeah, that's great, great insights there. Darryl, when a business does start to do some investigation, is where are we best placed at the moment? We need to keep doing that. Let's put together some processes so that we can start to really leverage this other area, which we may not necessarily be focusing on, which is wonderful. Underlying that, when we look under the veil, so to speak, there may be some certain things that could happen that would inhibit us from really growing that new area. I ask that question because sometimes, you know, some of these things that could remain a barrier, we don't often talk about. So what are some of the common things that you see? Let's keep an eye out for this, because if this does happen in your business, it's going to limit the growth. And often what then happens is the team will go, well, we tried that, it didn't work. And then we go back to focusing on what we already know we do well. What are some of the common things, the challenges that may arise that we want to keep an eye out for?
I think the biggest one is putting, to use the metaphor, all your eggs in one basket. You know, and I was having this conversation with a business owner just this past week. They had all of their net new business growth. They had gone all in on a certain tactic of digital advertising, which is great. It was a great tactic. But the problem was, somewhere in the middle of all that, the rules changed and all their inbound leads dried up. So, you know, I looked at that situation, and when I was talking to that person, you know, it was just one of those moments where you had to say with humility, oh, we should have had more than one business growth strategy in place. Because the reality is, if we've learned one thing in the last couple of years, things change. We live in a very dynamic marketplace right now. So when it comes to growing your business, you know, I don't think there's any investor in the stock market that would say, I'm going to put all my money on one stock and count on that getting me to retirement or whatever your personal goal is. But we tend to do that in our business. We find something that works and we just go, okay, we're going to keep doing that. But I think business leaders, anyone responsible for revenue, should go with some wisdom saying, let's have more than one strategy in place to drive net new business and drive cross-sell. And without multiple strategies, I think a lot of people really put themselves at risk. People that are doing great right now run the risk of things changing and it really hurting their business.
True. And I'm sure, Daryl, you've heard, and you might have even said this in the past to clients too, get really good at something and double down on that. However, what we're now saying is because change is just so quick and three platforms, I won't name them, went down for over 6 hours, I believe. Now, imagine if we had built our business that focused only on those platforms, we could have the potential, if that happens again, to completely lose the ability to contact our clients. So now what I hear you're saying, it's important for businesses to have a number of different, as you say, strategies and tactics so that if one does not work as well, that we're just not left having to start the wheel from scratch. When you're starting a new thing, I'd love some insights around this. When we're starting a new strategy or trying something new, how long would you say to a business, give it this amount of time, then we can take a step back and evaluate? Is that something that can be like maybe 30 days, 90 days, just to give people an understanding, try this out over this amount of time, and then you can start doing some tweaking? Have you got some insights on that?
It's a really good question. And I'm involved in several different startups right now, which is so much fun. So much fun. I like what Jim Collins had to say. And Jim Collins said, start by firing bullets, don't fire cannonballs. And, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say, depending on the scenario, how long you should try something out. Sometimes I think we give up a little too early. But I think two things: we should try bullets and not cannonballs. So don't, you know, I talked to another entrepreneur within the last month that was, they were investing in a startup aspect of their business, $35,000 a month in a growth strategy, and it didn't work. And they did it for 3 months. Now do the math on that. That's, you know, that's painful. So I would say, you know, what I told him was, you need to start firing bullets, not cannonballs. Figure out what works. Then once you, and the great thing about firing bullets is you can fire a bunch of different ones. You can go, let's try this, 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 and this. You know, let's try three or four different things on a small scale and then see what works, see what we learn. And once we figure out what works, then we can put some energy behind it. So, you know, I think the reality is in growing a business, especially as a startup, you're always in test and improve, right? Let's try it. Let's see what we can do to improve. And so I think that test and improve cycle should be short. But sometimes, you know, it depends. I've seen people give up on stuff a little bit too early. It's definitely a balance there, but fire the bullets, not the cannonballs, please. Especially a startup.
I love that analogy. It's so true. And we can kind of adapt that to our situation. I remember interviewing someone, I've got another podcast called The Ambitious Entrepreneur Show. And I was interviewing someone who was talking about their webinar and how they've now got that working for them, you know, in a very automated, successful way. And I said to him, so how long did it take you to really tweak to what was working? He goes, 2 years. I went, wow, 2 years. And it was, I mean, obviously that was his time frame, but it really showed me. He said, yeah, we really continue to monitor. We tested a change of a color of a button, where we placed it on the page. Yeah. And, you know, just in him sharing that, I realized, you know, I probably gave up too soon on certain projects. You did it, week didn't work, you know, move on. One of the greatest feedbacks, I think, or one of the greatest insights that can often inform us is, as you said, look at what's happening. Don't just look at the overall kind of impact, but what aspect of what we were doing worked, so that we don't throw, you know, that saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, which is a horrible saying.
It is terrible.
Another one.
Horrible image.
There may be certain steps that are working that we want to continue to do, but not necessarily in that platform or on that particular social media, because that's not where our clients are. What are some of the evaluation things that you would say, these are the things you want to continue to measure? Because what we measure, we improve. Mm-hmm. But some of us are measuring the wrong things, which really shouldn't make much of a difference. What are some things that you say we should be measuring?
This in the sales and marketing world, this one's really tricky, especially in marketing. I mean, in the marketing world, we've got a lot of numbers. We've got a lot of data. I say every business should be measuring two things at a minimum, and they should be measuring how many clients do we have and what's our revenue per client. That is, you know, those are the two core drivers of revenue. And what you'll find when you do that is you get a really good idea of how healthy your business is. So how many clients do we have? Are we growing or are we shrinking, right? Are we growing faster? Obviously, there's going to be some clients leaving. So you get an idea there. Revenue per client is the other one that most businesses don't measure. And it's really simple math. You take your total revenue and divide it by that number of clients to get your revenue per client. That's going to show you how well you're doing at cross-selling more to your current clients. I say every business should aim for 100% sold, which means that all of the clients are purchasing and taking advantage, benefiting from all of the products and services you offer them. So, you know, how well are you doing at 100% sold? Your revenue per client will show you if that should be growing in most businesses. And then right under that, the other thing I like to coach people to do is actually, you know, if we've got 1,000 clients, how many of those clients are using each one of our core product or services? So we can see that, you know, 100% are using our core product, 35% are using this product. And it gives us a really good idea of where our opportunity is in our business.
Yeah. I remember years ago, Daryl, I was working with a coach and, you know, some of the questions that a lot of other coaches were posing to her, and she would remind us that you could have a group coaching program, but don't forget that some of those clients in that group coaching program may love a VIP day or a half VIP day. Mm-hmm. Don't assume that they're getting everything that they need from that one program. That's what you're saying. What are your core offerings, and our existing clients, would they appreciate? And sometimes we just haven't told them. You know, we think that we may have told them, but is our communication really getting through, and are people aware of that? And all of these things, I think, when we get set up, should just be a consistent you know, thing that we're doing in business. Let's move on to the next point, integrating career and calling to make an impact. When you talk about calling, just so that everybody's on the same page, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, we all have careers. We all have businesses. We're entrepreneurs here. We're doing all kinds of things. I think that, you know, there are certain businesses, hopefully your business has some kind of just cause attached to it. But what I also find is, you know, I've got as a Christian entrepreneur, I mean, there are callings on my life that go beyond business, right? I have a calling as a child of God in the mission of the world. I have 2 nonprofits that I'm extremely involved in. One funds innovation in Christian missions. The other helps men recover and discover their hearts. And all of that. So now I'm faced as an entrepreneur, as a visionary entrepreneur with 2 businesses, sitting on the board and advisor to several startups, and working actively in leadership in 2 nonprofits. So I've got, you know, and I think this is very common among visionary Christian entrepreneurs. There's a lot of things in motion right now, right? And they're all very, very meaningful to me, and they all in some ways work together. They need to. And I think this is, you know, this is the challenge right now, is how do I structure my life so that I'm able to maximize my impact? And, you know, and this goes down to 2 of the most important things, energy and time. And I think energy is actually probably the more important of the 2. I'm discovering more and more as I dig into this that time management is important, but even more important, it's when I'm there, it's important that I'm able to show up. And so all of this, you know, all of this is deep inside my mindset right now as I'm looking at my life to go, how do I structure my life so that I can maximize my impact, so that I can fulfill my calling in all of these different areas that God has me in. And, you know, we're entrepreneurs here, so rarely is it going to be one thing at a time, right?
Yeah. Oh, so true. And I'm glad you mentioned that. You mean there's different involvements, and there's some involvements that very much, you know, drive and support others. You know, in a conversation that I had just last week with another Christian entrepreneur, was this whole aspect that sometimes as entrepreneurs, we don't see that our businesses and our not-for-profits and those contributions is really us working in our ministry. And
right.
It was interesting, the conversations and the comments that were had after the show, that there are still so many entrepreneurs and business owners not sensing that they are really contributing to the kingdom of God. But this is exactly where God has placed you. He's given you entrepreneurial skills. He's knitted you, you know,
absolutely, in the ability.
And, you know, this guest even said, you know, Jesus took over the family business. You know, he was a carpenter, and there were many people in the Bible that had businesses and funded other things. Not that, you know, you need to just start a business to fund things, but you can hire
right.
people and things like that. Speak a bit more about that. Was that something that you had a realization? Did you always realize that the businesses that you work with, is that an eye, you know, kind of like a, wow, okay, I am, this is my ministry. What have you found?
Yeah, it has certainly been a progressive realization over time. And, you know, it's interesting. So I run a business. I've had a business since 2004. So that's 17 years. And I serve clients on three different continents, from small businesses. I've worked with some very large, very recognizable corporations. And so here's what I've noticed is, and this is so fascinating, in terms of my local community, my neighbors, people I, you know, go to church with, or maybe go to the gym with, or different things like this, there's a network of people. It's actually relatively small compared to the literally hundreds and really now thousands of people that I've had the opportunity to meet and interact with. And not just in passing, you know, when you start getting engaged in growing a business and working together on things, there is considerable life on life involvement and time and conversations and dinners and, you know, things like that. So I look at my life, and I'm really grateful for the work that I get to do with Kingdom Missions Fund, with Man Alive Expedition. I love that stuff. However, if I was to quantify the real impact of my life from a kingdom perspective, I would probably have to say that it's in the context of the relationships that I've formed in my business all over, you know, I mean, spanning three continents. And here we are, we're on multiple continents having this conversation. And it's a really amazing thing, I believe. And I believe I'm backed with a gentleman named Billy Graham, that business is the next frontier of kingdom growth. This is where we spend our time. This is where we have our relationships. And this is where, you know, we do life with people. It's life on life. There's things going on. So I've had way, way more engagement and involvement with people and way more connections in the business world than I have in my local community. And it's just a factor of the scale of business. I think it's a really, really beautiful thing.
Yeah, and it's so true, isn't it? We have the ability to, and we may not necessarily talk about the Lord openly, but just in the way we do our dealings. You know, I'm often, you know, have heard clients thank me for delivering on the time, and in fact, sometimes before the time that we'd allocated. And to me, and I'm sure to you too, Daryl, it's surprising. It's like, well, we said we were going to do that, and they said, well, you would be surprised at the amount of businesses or people that just don't. I mean, just these little things, we can make a huge impact, can't we? And that's just the way that, you know, my parents brought me up. That's what you do. You work hard, and you know, you just deliver what you say that you are going to deliver, if not exceed that, those expectations. And that's really one of the things that I wanted to talk about. Being a kingdom business, and I'm going to have some conversations with a couple of people around what is the kingdom of God. I mean, that's mm-hmm. a whole other topic, of course. But we are contributing to that, aren't we, with what we do, as you've said. But also when you look at from the business point of view, every interaction and action, conversation we have, we are ambassadors for the Lord. So there are things that we need to do because of the fact that we're out there too. So what are some things that you, probably something that you do just naturally, but when we're thinking about being Christians in business, we are representing the Lord in everything we do. Do you want to share some insights around that? Maybe some principles that you follow?
Yeah. There's so many different angles on this. Certainly there is the baseline of integrity that you're talking about. I mean, and sadly, that's something we have to bring up because it's still uncommon. Following through, doing the right thing, basic integrity. But then Jesus said the kingdom of God is among you, right? So when you're talking about the kingdom, it's right here. You know, it's here. It's my area of effective domain or influence, as Dallas Willard would say, right? So the kingdom is among us, and everywhere we go, we are bringing the kingdom. So I think that means caring. I interviewed a guy on my podcast yesterday, Mario McCracken. Congratulations to Mario. His book came out today. It's called Really Care About Them. It's a sales and business book, Really Care About Them. But this is, and what a great principle, right? As kingdom entrepreneurs, do we care more about the scorecard, whatever that is, the bottom line, the revenue? What about the people along the way, the people that we're responsible for that work in our organizations, the clients that we serve, the vendors and partners that we work with to fulfill those agreements, the investors, shareholders, this is the network of people. And we're, what's the opportunity here is, I like the concept of multiple bottom lines. Now I'm all about the bottom line. I'm a revenue growth strategist. I like revenue. Revenue is, essential for all of this good stuff to happen. However, along the way, we need to look at the people around us. And this is where, sadly, the culture of the business world these days is people are just their assets, human capital, there's just not a lot of regard for people. So there's a commitment to doing the right thing. I think there's a commitment to growing as leaders. This has been a huge part of my realization in the last year is I've got to up my game continually as a leader if I want to have impact on people. The flip side is if you're a poor leader, you're going to have a really poor impact on people. So yes. I think it's kingdom business people, Amory, I think we don't just look at the numbers. We look at the strategy. We look at the people, mm-hmm. and we love people. And as Mario says in his book that came out today, we really care. We give a rip, right? We care about the people around us. And sadly, it's uncommon in the business world. So I think, this is where you shine like a star.
That is the biggest way that we can really stand out. And you can really take that across all different industries, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Whether you're a teacher, whether mm-hmm. it's in your home, whether you're in politics. I think some of our politicians can certainly use some caring, in their approach for certain things as well. But we can certainly make an impact on that. And I would imagine that when we do that as the CEO and leader of our businesses and within our industries, people notice. And that mm-hmm. kind of thing can inspire and empower so that others will take that mantle, if you will, and continue to share that across and that let it be just the driving force. Can you imagine if as a team you may have having to tighten your belt, but as a leader, rather than firing staff, you say, well, I'm willing to cut this and this so that you could do it. I mean, that kind of thing would just speak so many volumes, wouldn't it, to the team around you? And I'm sure that that's exactly what Jesus would have done. Was he running a business today?
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. I've seen that actual story play out here in the last year with people saying, we're going to figure out how to keep our staff on board during, you know, during the pandemic and all the related pivots. So it is, you know, it's really bringing your heart to all of this. I get to co-host Selling from the Heart, which is a sales podcast all about bringing authenticity, trust, all of that integrity back into the sales profession, which sadly is known for anything but that. But there's a fantastic example for anybody that's in sales. And by the way, who isn't in sales? If you're in business, we're all in sales, to sell from the heart, right? To say, I'm not going to sell from, I'm going to actually care about the people that I work with. And I'm going to care about them. This is, you know, this is, there's so many teachings of Jesus in all of this, right? That we actually care about other people. And it's sad that we even have to say this. But the reality is, once again, in the business world where people are primarily treated as assets and numbers, we get the opportunity to love the people that we work with, the people that we serve, the people that we sell to. And we have the opportunity to care. And guess what? When things are tough, when things, you know, go wrong in someone's life, we're there because we work with them. We live, you know, we spend 8 hours or whatever many hours a day with them. So we are, in essence, as the first responders to the crisis of life. And there's plenty of crises to go around, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Daryl, I know that we've only just scratched the surface, but it's been wonderful speaking with you today. Share a little bit more about how people can connect with you and the ways that you can support them.
Yeah. Any entrepreneurs that want to grow their business, I'd love to get a copy of Revenue Growth Engine in your hands. It's a playbook on how to accelerate the growth of your business. You can go to revenuegrowthengine.net and get a copy of that book. Just pay shipping and handling. We'll get that for you. There's a toolkit there as well. And I would welcome the opportunity, Anne-Marie, to connect with any of your podcast listeners. I'm cheering you on. This is a time where we've got to be focused and we got to get our businesses growing.
Yeah, terrific. One of the things that I do at the end of this podcast, Daryl, is just finish with a word of prayer. May I do that today?
Please do.
All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to have fellowship with Daryl today and talk about principles, godly principles, kingdom principles to really help grow our business, grow our revenue so that we can be far more impactful, hire more people, contribute to projects that are important. Father, we know that many businesses have gone through a lot of upheaval, a lot of areas of change. So we just pray for them, Lord, that you continue to give them insights, ways forward of moving forward as we navigate this next season and the next stage. So, Father, continue to bless the work that Daryl is doing with his podcast, with his clients, with his team too, as they continue to grow their business and have and make an impact for you. Father, we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been wonderful. And what great technology that we have got the ability to no connect. Sometimes we forget to remind ourselves of just what's possible now. And as businesses, you know, there may just be a tool that you're looking for that didn't know exists. Reach out to Daryl, get a copy of his book. You know, some of the insights may help you see things. Lift your head up, as Daryl said earlier in the conversation. Lift your head up because there may be things that are just there in front of you that you didn't know were possible. So thanks once again for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by theinfluencealliance.com. Want to influence real change with your message by becoming known as a trusted authority in your industry while building a sustainable and scalable business you love? Find out how by accessing our free podcast series at www.theinfluencealliance.com/podcast series. That's theinfluencealliance.com/podcast series.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.